The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Almost. Okay, yeah, I'm ready.
Edwin James Almost.
Somebody, one of my coworkers gave me that nickname, Edward James Almost. Is what he used to call me.
Why did you get that name? Did you almost do something?
No, because Edwin James is so close to Edward James.
No, I know. I get it. It'd be funny if something at work, you almost did something.
The real reason he gave me that nickname is because even though we worked at a retail store, I found a way to teach a bunch of high school kids calculus.
Good job.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and sexy temp, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, crossword puzzle guy.
And with us as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Do you wanna die? Have you ever seen a burn victim?
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite shows, NBC's The Office. Edwin, have you ever seen a burn victim? This week we're talking about The Fire. Well, that was going to be my opening line, but then
have you? Edwin, have you ever seen a burn victim?
Edwin, have you ever seen a burn victim?
Yeah, let's keep. Yes, thank you. Let's keep going.
All right. Today we're going to talk about season 2, episode 4, the Fire. Later in the episode, we're going to do some listener questions and some trivia that's been sent in. Super excited for that. But yeah, let's start with the Fire. Season 2, episode 4, directed by Ken Kwapis, who we know, of course, you know, helped develop the show, the American show, did the pilot.
Quap, what it do?
Written by BJ Novak, who is, this is kind of a Ryan episode, I would say. So that's really cool that this one's written by Ryan. This, of course, comes after Office Olympics, and the next episode was Halloween, and it aired on October 11th, 2005.
Yeah, so before we get started, I think we should acknowledge that kind of the idea or the conception for this episode came from the fact that we in Oregon have been dealing with wildfires, and while we were sitting around with smoky air here in Portland, it kind of came up as a topic. Maybe we could watch The Fire, where the characters in The Office have to also evacuate and deal with
put their life on conditions. Yeah, they have to put their life on pause, as we did for about a week. Yeah.
Obviously, we're a little bit back to normal here in Portland, but there's obviously a lot of devastation and stuff still going on along the West Coast. So we're not trying to make light of anything, but it definitely crossed our mind while this episode came up, while we were sitting in our houses.
It subconsciously creeped in. Yeah, man, I'm super excited. I mean, I don't know if you guys like. I mean, this was such a funny episode to me when I first started watching the show. It's got it all. I mean, it's got Dwight being annoying, Michael being inappropriate and a child, and we get
action.
Some really good
there's some drama. There's heartbreak. Oh, yeah. There's loneliness. There's
a lot going on. Big time.
Management parables.
Well, why don't we start with why don't we start with the management parables? Why don't we start with Michael and Ryan and Dwight? Dwight,
also known as the Lone Ranger and Tonto and Bonto.
Yeah, or the Three Stooges or the Three Musketeers. In this episode, we really get their this little love triangle of Dwight loves Michael, Michael loves Ryan. Ryan doesn't want to be a guy here. Okay. One of my favorite quotes by Ryan Howard, just one of Stanley's the crossword guy.
One of the few episodes that really is all about Ryan, or he's like kind of the main plot. There's certainly all the stuff with Dunder Mifflin Infinity, there's Wolf.com, but this is an early one when BJ Novak was still kind of really a main character in the show. And a lot of different DNA can be traced back to this episode in the show. It really starts drawing some lines on people's characters.
Big time. Yeah, like Meredith's horniness gets revealed in this episode.
White's favorite movie.
Because we're talking about, favorite movies, and she's like Ghost, but just that one part.
There's also a shot where she's just chatting up the fireman in the background.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah.
And there's that scene where she, Phyllis, and Pam are doing Who'd You Do? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Guys in the office.
Mm-hmm. She's just agreeing. Yeah. She's just nodding along with everyone they say. Back to Dwight and Ryan and Michael. It's not really a love triangle that... It's funny to say love triangle. It's not really a trio that has any real repercussions in the show. It's not like there's a lot going on between the three of them ever again.
Close. It's like a crooked line.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. It's such infant stages of The Office still, where Dwight is still looks at Michael like he's this infallible, perfect boss, which he's really not. And we see a lot of that when Michael's trying to teach Ryan about business. And we learn that Michael has never gone to college and doesn't know what he's talking about a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the big character that stood out to me the most in this episode was Dwight, in part because, like you said, his admiration for Michael, his friendship with Michael, his desire to be approved by Michael and liked by Michael comes up time and time again. There's a line at the beginning of the episode where Dwight says, "Michael hasn't evaluated me in years."
I know.
And it's so true for this version of Dwight, but it doesn't ring true with a later incarnation of Dwight, one who's evolved a little bit more. And it was so interesting to watch that this is a perfect version of early Dwight, given he has a situation to overreact to, a reason to come up with survival tactics.
Mm-hmm. Would having your phone make you happier than anything else?
Yeah.
It's so dramatic.
Would that make you happy?
A reason to deploy his martial arts training, mm-hmm. An opportunity to interact with local first responders or emergency responders.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. We've got some theories.
And they just walk away from him. That's mean.
Jim kind of daps up one of the firemen, I think, when he's walking by. I think Jim knows one of the firemen or his buddies.
Oh,
it seemed
this
is like a hey. Unless Jim was also stoked to see the firemen. Yeah!
That part when he's, Dwight's just super stoked as the fire truck's coming in, gives the honk honk. Yes! Dwight's a little different in this episode. I mean, I feel like there's just this, like, what I love about it is, like, he gets this, like, childlike adrenaline from, like, getting everybody out of the building for the fire drill. And, like, the way that he's kind of trying to roughhouse with Ryan for a while. He's, like, karate chopping the back of his head. Yeah.
A couple of noogies.
Yeah. And then just, like, immediately crashes emotionally. Locks himself in his car, blasts some REM. I don't know. It's kind of a slightly different performance from Rainn Wilson than most times. He's not so stubborn. He's not so sure of himself. He's a little bit sensitive.
He's wearing it all on his sleeve or his short sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
Can we acknowledge that last week's episode about D'Angelo suggests to Dwight that they'll have every automatic for the people on the jukebox. Everybody Hurts is on Automatic for the People.
Oh, nice catch.
Edwin, to answer your question, you may not reference last week.
Please redact
that. I think you got your point through, but I just want to say you may not. Please take it back. We'll continue.
We get Michael coaching Ryan. And then,
we get a Zoom midway glitch through the, we get. Oop, whoa, you got a big, big Zoom. Try that again.
The last thing you said was we got Michael, or we get Michael.
We got Vikram.
I was trying to hit you with the when he's telling him that they're willing to make a buyout offer. The whoa, Jim says that's Michael. Anyway,
yeah.
Oh,
but what we get is Michael, of course, trying to play the role of the mentor. Okay, he's like just making all these empty statements. You have to play to win, but also you have to win to play. And then adapt, react, readapt, act. Yeah. But then, of course, midway through the episode, Michael starts to realize that Ryan is actually really smart. Ryan drops the question on Michael, like, why are people reconsidering the Microsoft model in recent years? I don't know what the Microsoft model is, even myself.
Well, at this time, this episode came out in what, 2006?
Mm-hmm. 05.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Late October?
October 11th, 2005. I said that at the beginning.
I mean, you guys can fact check me if I'm wrong with this, but I think so. Microsoft computers had been so standard issue in workplaces.
Yeah.
And Apple computers were just kind of coming back. We're only a few years removed from iMacs and things like that becoming more popular, more in general use. And it seems like Microsoft would have been the standard issue for most workplaces. I think one thing, Sean, that we were talking about this, but how to me this episode feels very, not dated, but very of its time, very time-stamped. And this was one of those moments that felt particularly that way.
Definitely. Yeah, we'll talk about all the different ways that this episode dates itself. But when Michael gets hit with that question, he realizes he has no idea what Ryan's even talking about. He kind of like, I think he sort of looks to Dwight and realizes that Dwight is not very impressive either in his knowledge. And first Michael attacks Dwight and says that Ryan knows more about business than you'll ever know. And then we get this moody Michael in the backseat of his car, just kind of like flipping through Ryan's textbook and being like, man, you should be the one teaching me. I feel like we get a little Michael growth there, which is very early in the show to start seeing those things from Michael.
Michael goes from the teacher to realizing these things he didn't know. There's another question that Ryan poses about whether or not it's more expensive to retain an existing client or sign a new client. I love that Michael corners Ryan into the backseat of Ryan's own car.
Yeah.
It's such a weird scene. It's so strange.
And the window is down and Ryan says, why don't we get some air? Michael says, No, I'm good. And Ryan has to straight up tell him, I'm very uncomfortable.
And the way Michael trails off on his thoughts there, like the things that he's saying, he's just like talking about, I got into sales to connect with people, and then that made me a manager. And
yeah.
And he's like, what do you think? Just looks at Ryan really closely. It's a bizarre, strange scene. And when Michael's very physical with Ryan and touches him a lot. And
again,
this is a few episodes after he gives Hottest in the Office to Ryan. And then he answers, that's what he wants to do. When Roy is at the circle, they're playing, who would you want to do?
Yeah.
It's just Michael's really making some moves on Ryan here. It gets pretty uncomfortable.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you think, would you have wanted more Michael and Ryan or less Michael and Ryan or the exact same amount?
I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, it burns out pretty fast because it's like you'd get so – you just couldn't do that joke for that long, like Michael messing with Ryan in that way. But I think they sprinkle it in perfectly.
Yeah, isn't this fun? We all agree. I think I watching this episode, I thought to myself, I wish we got a little bit more. But because I thought that that's a reason that it probably was done in the appropriate amount. If it doesn't exhaust itself. Yeah, that moment in particular.
Yeah.
He touches his chest.
Yeah. It's just a little nipple dip.
Oh, my God.
Go, Mr. Egghead.
Always leave him wanting more. Yeah.
But it all gets turned around, too, in the end when Dwight finally, of course, Dwight broken and battered by Michael's yeah. love of Ryan.
The whole time,
desperately
Dwight looking
runs
over
into the
at
building.
Them with yeah, jealous, yeah. wet eyes, and just like, oh my God, it's such a funny part of this show.
We get him running it. We get his like desperate, like, would that make you happy, Michael? Because Michael's like, oh, my phone's inside. And he's like, would that make you happy if you had your cell phone? He pushes Stanley out of the way and runs inside. He discovers, of course, the toasty pita and gets to embarrass Ryan in front of everybody. And Michael is quick to turn on Ryan and point out his mistake as well.
Well, we also see Ryan, Michael turn to Ryan and say, hey, call my cell phone.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yes.
And Ryan just, what's your number? That moment we get a sit in where Michael watched Ryan put his number into Ryan's phone and he now doesn't have it. And then when he calls him, it's Mambo number 5 and it's in his jacket pocket.
That moment when he realizes it's in his pocket.
And he's just standing there.
Michael makes that face a few times over the course of the series when he realizes it's completely his fault and he's been caught red-handed on camera. He makes a really specific face. There's a couple other times. I'll think of them, but there's a couple other times he makes that face again.
It appears the bird was in mine pocket all along.
I mean, this is, yeah... It's kind of odd for Michael for like two times in this episode he like has some self-realizations. One, that he's not that smart and doesn't know that much about business, and this guy who's young, who's never worked, knows more than he does. And two, that he kind of realizes that he was cruel to Dwight and that Dwight was really the only person that wanted to hang out with Michael and stuff like that. I mean, when Dwight runs inside, he's like, you know, he's like, idiot, you know, like, stop being stupid or something like that. And Kevin comes up and says, what if he dies in the fire? And that's the last thing you said to him. And Michael's like, I didn't say it to him. I said it about
him.
And you just see it. And Michael just realizes like, I'm the asshole. And then like, you know, and then he's just standing there at the front of the building and he's like, how long, you know, he's trying to pretend like he doesn't care. Like he's, how long does it take to find a cell phone? Like, and he's clearly upset. And when he realizes that Ryan didn't save his number in his phone, he realizes like, why do I, like, he kind of is, he's like, you know, gives Ryan that look like, all right, never mind.
He wasn't impressed with the Chrysler either.
No.
I love this car.
He makes direct eye contact with Ryan. What do you think of this car?
He's so earnest.
Images everything. Andre Agassi.
Do you like it?
I do love I love Michael and Dwight. Their friendship over the show is so great. And this is such a funny episode for it because Dwight is appealing to Michael all these times. And then at the end, you know, Michael is clearly more focused on Ryan, as you said. And then at the end, once we get that realization that Ryan has kind of rejected Michael, we get Dwight and Michael laughing together. Everybody singing that Billy Joel song.
That's the thing about this episode is I think you're right, Sean, that like Michael realizes he's been mean and realizes he doesn't know much about business and all these other things. But then it's completely the slate is wiped clean at the end because they find a reason to knock Ryan down a few pegs. And both Dwight and Michael desperately need to knock Ryan a few pegs down because it's threatening both of their egos. Dwight because he wants to be number two in the office and it feels threatened. And Michael, because he's the superior businessman. So they finally get to go, look at this guy. He couldn't even run a toaster oven. Like, this guy he's just a kid. And then immediately they reset back to who they were.
Mm-hmm. We talked about props that we want from The Office or we'd like to have home. The combination of the tongs and the burnt cheesy pita.
Yes.
Where he holds it up to the camera.
Yeah, you could hold that and then a fire extinguisher in your other hand. There you go.
Right.
One of my favorite moments from this episode is when Dwight walks up to the circle where they're talking about Desert Island. And when he starts talking, he just hands the fire extinguisher to Stanley so that he can use both hands while gesturing.
Oh, that's what he does. I got this as a drop. An incredible job by Rainn Wilson here.
Physician's desk reference.
Nice, smart.
Hollowed out. Inside, waterproof matches, iodine tablets. Beet seeds, protein bars, NASA blanket, and in case I get bored, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. No, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Question, did my shoes come off in the plane crash?
Question.
Yeah, he uses the two hands to gesture.
And look, why this is the first time I realized it, but how funny it is to me that he's going to hollow out a book and then put another book inside one of the Harry Potter books, which is not a small book.
Which will not fit.
I mean, all his other things wouldn't either, but man, it's funny.
Well, I love too when he's like upset later and he's just kicking the van, like the handicap van accessible sign. And they're like, hey, Dwight, we're talking about favorite movies. And he's like, just kind of waves them off. And then they just watch him go for a while. The Crow.
It's a really patient joke.
Yeah.
It's a great one. Great moment.
Yeah. Moving on from Michael, Ryan, and Dwight. This is also a big episode for Jim and Pam, or maybe mostly Pam. This is an odd time in the office. Jim is dating Katie, the woman who came in to the office and sold purses randomly at the end of season one, played by the gorgeous Amy Adams. We kind of see Pam like getting jealous about Jim, which is a little bit maybe the first time in the show.
I mean,
for this much of an episode, it is like Jim is like, acting like he doesn't even care about Pam. Who?
It's a role reversal a bit, because we've watched Jim have to kind of deal with Roy always interacting with Pam and he's nearby. And for the first time, we're getting Katie calling the office and Pam having to patch Jim through. And the cold open is that happening. And we get Jenna Fisher, I think, does such a understated job of asking, may I ask who's calling? We never see her do that. Over the course of the show, she just patches people through. She doesn't ask who's calling. And the way she does it to, she knows it's for, her body language is like, oh, this is someone calling for Jim who shouldn't be. And she's just curious who it is. Oh, is it Katie? It is Katie. And we watch her kind of deal with that throughout the episode. And that the cold open ends with that moment. And there's no joke. There's no zinger to go to the credits.
No.
It just sort of drops you off right there. It's really weird.
Yeah, she says you can just give her your extension.
Yeah.
Which is, Jim would know that. Like,
Jim doesn't
it's a little like I'm sure that as soon as she said that, he was just like, "What? Wait a minute. The hell does that mean?" But yeah, I mean, there's a few times in this where we get Jim and Pam kind of clowning around. Like, Pam's kind of impressed by how Jim sort of takes leadership and sort of gets people to, get in a circle and start talking and joking around.
Jim becomes a camp counselor for the episode.
Totally. Totally. And Pam's just kind of along for the ride. I mean, they go up and mess with Dwight when he's playing REM in the car. Kind of Jim and Pam being a little mean to Dwight in his time of need, kicking him when he's down, telling him he should quit. But also we get...
They make fun of Meredith together. Her
favorite.
They make
fun of Meredith
together.
Desert
Island movies.
Mm-hmm.
They're being a little judgmental, Jim and Pam, being a little exclusive.
But yeah, we get this thing too where, like, you know, Meredith says Legally Blonde, and then Pam is like, well, that's a good movie, and... Jim's like, you have to understand, these are like the movies, not just guilty pleasures, movies you're going to watch for the rest of your life. And she's like, okay, I get it. Like, and then later, right, Amy Adams shows up and says, Legally Blonde. And Pam, like, the camera goes to Pam because she's like, you know, like, oh, but like Jim doesn't really have a reaction. And I think that's when she starts to realize, oh, crap. He's really into her.
There's a lot of Jim being very charming and engaging and charismatic in this episode. And so much of what we've seen from that up until this point is Jim interacting just with Pam and maybe a little bit with the other characters in the office. But to do this with Katie directly in front of Pam just feels like you can feel the tension between them. And then even as the episode ends and Katie pulls Jim by his tie so they can go get lunch, Pam pulls in Roy and kisses him, and Jim sees it as he gets into the car. There's just, I really love the way that they play with the tension in season two. It's a, It's really signature for the show.
Not to mention, Roy does not look make Roy and Pam's relationship look good in that he's choosing the uptight Christian chick.
My name is Angela. Hey, Angela, I'm Roy. Nice to meet you. Just openly, like, just some barroom hitting on Angela right in front of Pam.
And then, like, just watching Pam's reactions, too, you just get, like, you know, she's, you can tell one. I mean, Jenna Fisher does a great job here. You can literally watch her, Pam, think these things through. As soon as somebody asks Roy, who would you do? She kind of makes a face like, of course you're going to say me. And then she's like, oh, of course, shocked by what Roy says. Then we go to Jim and she kind of like does a look like, oh, my gosh, what is he going to say? And then when he says Kevin, it, you know, releases the tension and everybody laughs a little bit. But I think, yeah, Jenna Fisher does a great job.
If Jim had just stared at Pam in that question and just gone, I'd do Pam. Just like right in front of Roy. Whoa, dude.
Roy throws that right cross.
here comes a sock full of nickels.
I think, too, we should acknowledge that the way they frame that, Pam is standing between Roy and Jim, and the camera goes tight on Pam to show her reaction, even when she's kind of looking down and expecting Roy to say her. Just the way they frame it is really great. I think, too, there's a moment from Roy where he walks over and we see Roy so much as with the warehouse crew, as one of the warehouse guys, and it's very separate, like the basketball episode, which is just a few episodes removed from this in season one. But he says, can I hang out with you guys? Those warehouse guys are kind of jackasses sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's like
it softens up Roy a little bit.
A little bit. Like you're kind of like, oh, they were all being mean to him, so he came over here.
We see them like smashing bottles and like we get that little shot of them and they're just, yeah, they look like some street vagrants just throwing bottles around like little kids.
It's like the Vance refrigeration guys with the little poppers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, Roy doesn't, not a great episode for Roy.
Overall. No, not a good look for Roy.
And he'll also be flirting with Katie in a few episodes later in Booze Cruise.
That's
the whole thing is, it's just sort of like Pam and Roy don't quite fit. And Jim and Katie don't quite fit. And it's happening simultaneously in this episode.
Mm-hmm. And Katie looks out the window as they drive away and says, oh, they're so cute.
Yeah. That's right.
So yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, those are kind of like the big story arcs of this episode. But what were some of your other favorite moments that stood out in this episode?
I really love the idea that this isn't we've touched on this idea a couple different times, but when you take the characters out of the office, the entire dynamic loosens up quite a bit. When you pull them out of the office and take them to the parking lot, everybody relaxes. Jim can kind of bring them into a circle and play some games. And you can see everyone kind of smile and they're kind of excited to play these games and hang out and learn a bit more about each other. That's one of the big takeaways for me, just to watch them kind of relax and have real conversations and talk about movies they like and things like that.
And it's an early on in season two of the ensemble cast is still being defined. And so we're seeing a lot of that in this episode. We're even just seeing characters. It's almost like going outside and talking over these things gives people a chance to say people's names, characters' names to each other. So we just start to get the whole ensemble and the picture comes in a little more focus in this episode. We see Stanley have a few lines. We obviously see some Emeritus characters start to come through. We see, you know, they're talking about who's cute, who's not. You just see a little bit of the dynamics of the office they're just starting to have fun with it here. And it's just a fun, relaxed episode. Everyone's outside talking about who they are, not what they do for work.
Yeah. A couple of small things that I loved. Kevin's tie is way too short. I thought that was super funny.
Yes.
The way that Michael's desk is framed behind him with the 5-pound dumbbells and the little like hamster dolls. I thought that was really silly. Mm-hmm. And the line at the beginning when he says, much advice you seek. Says, who's that? And the way Ryan says, Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie Bear.
Yeah.
Really quickly, so Pam's movies, I just wanted to throw these past you. Fargo, Edward Scissorhands, Dazed and Confused, which Jim has in his top five, Breakfast Club, and Princess Bride. Those are the five. That's pretty solid.
Solid.
I think Pam's hitting a good percentage on those. I would put Fargo in my five, I think. We have some crossover there. Breakfast Club maybe too. I love Breakfast Club.
That's great. There's a deleted scene where Toby lists off his. He says, "Say Anything," Annie Hall. He says Toy Story 2, a couple others. And Jim stops him and says, "Wow, we had so much overlap. I didn't know if it was possible to win Desert Island, but you may have won." And it's funny that they cut it out because it makes Toby a lot more likable and relatable.
For sure, for sure. Mm-hmm.
And we get, of course, the moment when Pam's like, "Oh, Toby, he's cute." And
everyone kind of nods
along.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Speaking of Desert Island movies, guys.
Hmm.
Do you have any?
You gonna put us on the spot?
Yeah. What are they?
We had a quick moment to think about this.
Told them, I was like, "I'm going to ask you guys during the show." This is as we're about to start,
and record. Yeah.
And we could do a whole episode, but we'll just do a few. Just say some names, and then we're not going to discuss it because we could go down a long path. I'll start. I am taking Fargo. I love that movie.
Nice.
I almost took The Big Lebowski also, but I'm only taking one Coen Brothers movie. I'm also taking Boogie Nights for a lot of reasons. Oh. One, it's long. Like, I'm going to need some long movies that'll help. And it's one of those movies that's kind of every genre. It's funny. It's a drama. It's crazy. The craft of it is Paul Thomas Anderson is excellent. And it's everything. It's hilarious. Also, you know, there's a lot of sex in it. That'll keep me going. And then there's...
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Before Sunrise would be my other pick. A simple love story to reflect on.
Oh, nice.
I have a list that I kind of jotted down. We'll see how this goes.
It's hard to say that. It's hard to make the picks. I just have to make them.
Okay. I skew very heavily towards comedies, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. Wet Hot American Summer.
I was going to put that on mine. You know what? Let's all share that one. Let's all take that on the MSPC island.
Okay.
I'm taking it too.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
That's a good one. Mm.
It's just a movie I don't ever get tired of.
And you'll be on an island.
Mm-hmm. A really long hangout movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. very new movie.
Very long.
Yeah. Into the Spider-Verse, Spider-Man.
Ooh, nice.
I wanted one superhero movie.
Yeah,
I think that might be the best one.
I would definitely take...
Wait, I got one. I have one more.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Jackie Chan, Super Cop. That's so good.
That's a good one. I would say Wet Hot American Summer was already on my list. Got to take a Wes Anderson movie if I'm going to pick one. Royal Tenenbaums.
Sure.
Just because that's a great one. I've already seen it too many times. Ferris Bueller's Day Off is always a movie that I
good
can
hang.
Watch
good
when
hang.
It's on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Twilight 2.
Twilight
always makes 2, me laugh.
Saw 3.
Yeah.
And Scream 4.
Yeah.
We could do an all sequel list. Anyway, that's a whole nother topic.
Anyways,
Legally Blonde. Yeah, let's move on.
Well, I don't know. I mean, is there any other final thoughts on this episode? I guess I have one little thing that I noticed. All the glass in the lobby is frosted in this episode, which is not the case for the rest of the series.
In the lobby, like of the building?
Yeah, it's all frosted, like so that you can't really see into the lobby as people go in and out.
Oh, you're right. That's not the case. Later on, you're right.
Later on, that's not the case.
I'm thinking of Michael pinning Danny Cordray against the door.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed was that when the camera kind of pans up over the hedge to look past the building, it's completely cloudy and you can see nothing besides the office itself.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, we get a lot of geography of the Dunder Mifflin Business Park here early on as well. As far as the security camera footage of Michael running out of the office, barreling people out of the way. The way he's standing outside, just kind of kicking at a stone or a little like pebble or something. People come out. It's like he beat everyone out there by a long shot.
Yeah.
He panicked.
He took the elevator down probably, and then they all waited for it to come back up. Because I bet they all took the elevator down. Because they don't. I know. Just not what you're supposed to do in a fire drill. A
couple other notes. We see, we get Dwight asks, where's Marjorie?
Yep.
We get some, a couple names and faces that there's in the background. There's a couple members of the office who are not.
I think Devin, with the Devin's back there there's with the Devin. Sunglasses.
There's another shot. There's another shot. I don't have the timestamp. I should have done that. But there, we do see some characters in the background standing around that are not later in the show later on. But that's all my notes on season two, The Fire.
It's a great episode. I really, I mean, I watched it back. I watched it two times through before recording this, and it was great both times. It's a good.
Oh, the last thing I was going to mention is why this episode feels of the time. Microsoft thing, all the movies they list, Michael's cell phone ring of Mambo Number 5, the fact that they're not all standing around with their phones and they can be brought together to play a little game.
That's a good point.
A lot of it just felt it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the reference to LeBron, Kobe, and T-Mac all at once. But it just
and the
felt
Andre
very,
Agassi.
Yeah,
images felt everything.
Very 2005. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or 2000. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And also the behavior of some of the people are different too. I mean, compare it to some of the other fire moments in The Office. The way people leave the building, it's right. very different, especially right. Oscar, who's on his phone during this one.
Well, Dwight also says, I hope the war goes on forever and Ryan gets drafted. He's talking about the Iraq war.
That was pretty fresh.
Yep, yep. Well, yeah, there you go. The Fire, season two, episode four. Great episode. Let's move on to a little conference room, 5 minutes.
All right, everybody in the conference room. I don't care if you are gay or straight or a lesbian or overweight. Just get in here right now.
Beautiful day now.
Do you want to die?
What was that?
I didn't mean to hit that three piece. Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to hit that beautiful day. No.
Okay. So this week's conference room question comes from an Instagram account called The Office on VHS, who sends this. Being that The Office emerged in the last days of VHS, the two did not really intersect, aside from the theoretical occasional episode dubbed off of broadcast TV. I believe that the form in which shows are viewed is an essential element of the viewing experience. Case in point, my first go-around with broadcast Office was on an old-school CRT TV, not a fancy plasma like Michael. I still enjoy watching the show more on a CRT monitor more than an LCD or LED screen for this reason. I believe it's more true to the form in regards to the original edits. I suppose later seasons excluded. I wanted to take this a step further and dub the show onto VHS to see it in a nostalgic format not readily available. I now have the first 7 seasons on VHS and watch them often. Let's see. I figured the world needed to share in my madness, and thus I started this page. You can check it out on Instagram. So I guess the question is, how much does the medium you are watching the show affect how you experience it? So I thought this was a really interesting and fun question. Thank you for sending it in.
I've heard of people doing this with music, right? Like, no, the vinyls, it sounds better. You got to hear it on vinyl. Never heard about this with a TV show.
Well, yeah, I think it's like, I get it though. It's nostalgic. Like, I mean, I guess for me, it'd be like if I went back to watching it on a video iPod in bed, you know, which is how I first started watching the show. But I think there would be something about watching it on VHS on a classic, TV, like, I don't know. It would just feel like traveling back in time. It just feels like a little bit more. I don't know. It makes you feel warm and cozy just thinking about it.
Well, I've brought this up on the show a bunch, of course, but from 2007 on, so that would have been seasons 3 or 4 onward. I mean, I was watching it live with people on NBC every Thursday night. So to me, that it had far less to do with the specific TV or picture or technology. It was for me that is watching it with people. That's what The Office is best enjoyed for me, with friends, whether it's with you guys at one of our work retreats or if it's just when it was airing. I mean, that was the peak. That was the best way to view it. No doubt.
No doubt.
Yeah, I think the most nostalgic watching experience for me would probably be either watching on an early version of YouTube where I could watch all of the episodes in three-piece chunks without any ads because this was YouTube in 2006, or my sort of annual routine of getting The Office season as it would come out and then being able to rewatch the entire season at once. Those were like the fundamental watching experiences for me. Of course, you know, I mean, we were friends in college and stuff. We would watch The Office together. But those are the most nostalgic ways for me. I do remember having like one or two episodes on iTunes that I could watch and having to tune in at a particular time on a Thursday night to catch it. And I guess I'm curious for you guys, what is your preferred way of watching now? Because I think now that there are so many different ways of watching, everyone has their own way. So how do you guys watch The Office the most often now?
Netflix on my couch.
Netflix on my couch. Yes.
But I would say we watched all of season four together on DVD a year or so ago on one of our retreets.
On Ryan's Cool Retreat.
Ryan's Cool Retreat. And was the best because DVD is my preferred format to watch The Office because of all the extras, the commentary, and then watching it with friends in person. That was the best of both worlds. And if I could do that every time, I would.
Definitely. And I don't know if I mentioned it on our Patreon episode or on this, but when Ryan and I went on our mini honeymoon from our recent
wedding,
as soon as we got to the hotel, we turned on the TV, Office marathon all day on Comedy Central. And there was just something so serendipitous just about like turning it on and being like, oh, perfect. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that whole like slog like of the week of your wedding, everything you had to do, and then it's just like,
oh man,
give me a hotel bed in the office, and we're gonna
just randomly on TV. That like that's just all of a sudden it's just like, oh yeah, it's a marathon all day. It's like, oh.
So
yes.
How was it with ad breaks again?
I mean, the ads are annoying, but I mean, you know, streaming everything right these days, you're just not used to ads. And how much you have to watch them when you watch TV. But I don't know. There's something nice about it. And then the way that it was just kind of like a marathon, they just were jumping around like, you know.
Oh, they didn't go in order. It was.
No.
Oh, really?
They didn't go backward, but they would just jump episodes.
Like, got it.
And so that was really nice. Okay. Yeah, you don't get that on Netflix. Mm-hmm.
I think for me, Netflix on my couch is the way I watch the most now. But for years and years, the way that I watched the most was just on my laptop, falling asleep. Or every now and then, I would download an episode on my phone, and then I would just listen to it while I was driving. You guys ever do that?
No, I've never done that.
Oh, man.
Well, now you know a little more about me.
Dude, I was just
a little something about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just talking to a guy at work, and I told him that I was doing this podcast, and he was like, oh, that's so funny. I was like kind of, you know, a little like stressed out last night and turned on The Office and just like fell asleep to it. Just calmed me down. It's like, dude, a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
If you want to do the opposite of that, you could listen to our podcast, this show, just Bluetooth it through your TV speakers or like sit on your couch and just let it play through your TV. It'll be the same. Yeah. Do a puzzle or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's the opposite of while you're falling asleep? While drinking a lot of coffee?
Yeah, first thing in the morning over coffee.
I have been thinking to myself, I want to do a straight chronological rewatch of the show because I think that's a way that people experience it quite a bit now. And people can give you numbers of times they've rewatched the show. And we've talked about this, but I think we have no idea because we've been watching for a long time and we'll jump around and things like that. I would love to do a 1 to 9 nonstop, complete in sequential order.
I'm actually just started that, if you'd like to jump on board.
Oh, yeah. Where are you at?
Well, I started with when we did, I watched Hot Girl I knew we were doing The Fire, and then I wanted to rewatch The Dundies for last week's episode about D'Angelo. So I just started with season one and got all the way through the fire today. So that I'm pretty much on at the fire right now.
Okay, I'll catch up and we can do it together.
Yeah, all the way through. Join us. We'll get through one season a week. I don't know. I don't even know what the rate is these days. We'll go at our own pace. So we lost Sean.
Yeah, do you want to wait for him to pop back on and then we can do trivia?
Okay, now can I hear Sean? Oh, baby. I can hear Edwin. Everything's working again, guys. All right, we're rolling. We're good
Sweet
to go.
Baby blinkers.
Good to go.
All right, we're going to keep this quick. I'm just going to do this one trivia.
I'm laughing at Sweet Baby Boinker.
Sweet Baby Boinkers. Oh my gosh.
All right, let's do this, Sean.
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
This week's trivia sent to us by Corey. They say, hello, this is a random trivia from different seasons. After each trivia question, there's a Finnish quote from that episode.
Ooh, love it.
Any Norwegian quotes? Or they're all Finnish?
Yes. Yeah, I hope you've been brushing up on your Finnish.
A little Scandinavian all right. humor. Go ahead.
Season 5, episode 19, Golden Ticket. On what date did Michael come up with the Golden Ticket idea?
Ooh, it's in March. March 10th.
Yeah, March 4th.
March Correct. 10th. Ah, fuck.
Really?
March 4th?
Hey.
March 4th.
Shout out to the March 4th marching band.
Oh, yeah. Finish this Michael quote. Hey, did you come up with Toilet Buddy? It's a net. It's a circular net you put inside the toilet to catch all your change and your wallet from falling into the toilet, formerly known as...
Toilet Guard.
Toilet Guard, correct. All right, season 9, episode 18, promos. What kind of farmer is Esther Brueger?
She's a milkmaid.
Mmm.
Dairy?
She does parsnips?
She Turnips. Does Brussels sprouts. She's a Brussels sprouts farmer.
Okay.
I prefer that to beets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, those Brussels who can't farm, farm celery.
I know. I was going to say celery, but I think it was.
Finish this Kevin quote. This is a documentary? I always thought we were like specimens in...
A human blank. Zoo.
A human zoo. Yes, correct.
No, Kevin, you're not.
When you were talking about Fargo, I was like, that's what Kevin would say during his abbreviated speaking time. How far did you go, Kevin? Fargo. Fargo.
He said I was dull.
Season 7, episode 25, Search Committee, part 1. After Robert California leaves his interview, what does Jim say about him?
He says...
It's something like, I don't know if I like him, but I want him to respect me.
The second part is, but I think he might be a genius.
Yes, yeah. That's correct.
And the first part is, like, I don't know if he's a good fit or something like that.
He creeps me out, but okay. I think he might be a genius.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Finish this Meredith quote. You pick a crappy boss you are responsible for. You pick a crappy boss, you are responsible for blank.
For him, Jim. I don't know. What is it?
My crappy life.
Oh. Okay.
You pick a crappy boss, you are responsible for my crappy life.
You want to tell my kid he doesn't get shoes?
For once, I'm just like a well-hung man in his 40s.
Fine. Let's pick the guy with the small penis.
With small
As someone
horn.
Who buys a lot of erotic cakes, it's just nice to be represented on one.
Brings up a good point. Would small work? Small to medium.
Season 4, episode 5.
Andy
local
for
ad.
Manager?
Local ad. Who does Michael tell Ryan's assistant he is when he calls Ryan? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like senior creative director or something like that?
No. He calls... It's Eddie Murphy.
Oh, okay.
Calls Ryan's assistant and says, this is Eddie Murphy. Finish this Michael quote. Dunder Mifflin, limitless paper in a
Paperless World.
Of course, yes. Season 3, episode 18, The Negotiation. When Jan asks Michael what is wrong with him, he says it's been a weird day, then gives four excuses. What are they, in order?
Oh, in order, I don't know.
He's that's the episode he wears the mysterious suit, right?
Yes. So yeah, I wore women's clothes.
I accidentally cross-dressed
is exactly what he says. That's the first thing.
One of my employees attacked one of my other employees?
No.
Mm-mm.
You have the hot assistant?
Yes.
He makes a Toby jab. He's like, I had a... It's something about Toby,
yep,
right?
That's, I'll give you that.
Like, I don't know. He says something about Toby.
Yes.
What is it?
No, there's one more. I'll tell you what they all are. If you can just even get what this last one's about. Okay. It's I accidentally cross-dressed.
Yeah.
Daryl made me feel bad for not making any money.
That's it.
I had to write up here with stupid Toby.
Yeah.
Your assistant is all young and hot.
Okay. All right. Well, we kind of got there. Yeah.
Finish this Karen quote. You would rather sit on your couch and watch a Phillies game than go out to a movie with
your awesome girlfriend.
Correct. Season 6, episode 21, Happy Hour. In the cold open, how many push-ups did Michael do, and how many did Jim do?
Michael sets the bar for Stanley to beat at 25.
24 and one girl push-up.
Oh, is it 24 and one girl push-up?
Michael does 25 and one girl push-up.
Okay.
How many did Jim do?
He does like 6.
No, he does more than that. He does 19. Okay.
19.
He says, I did a bunch of push-ups this morning.
Yeah, right. Finish this Daryl quote. Let me tell you something, Oscar. Matt's an okay dude, but he's blank.
A dummy.
You guys got nothing in common. A dummy. You guys got nothing in common. Nice, yes. Season 8, episode 22, Fundraiser. This is the last episode here. How much did Dwight bid on the 1 year of home security service?
Oh, is this the silent auction?
$10,000?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say a couple thousand.
$2,500.
Guess the price.
Yep. And then finish this...
None of you have ever been to a
Quaker Fair? Finish this Jim quote. Not every glance means something, all right? Life isn't blank.
Downton Abbey,
that's exactly right. And that concludes Corey's trivia. Thank you so much, Corey, for sending that in. And you at home listening, you can send us trivia. Email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. That's the best, maybe the only way to send us trivia, so please do that. But you can also call us and leave us a message, 503-694-9314. Sometimes we like to play the voicemails on the show. And actually, we're going to have a voicemail episode coming up, so please call in with your voicemails. Now's a great time to do that. You just comments, questions, whatever. We love it. You can also get a hold of us on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company, Twitter at Michael Scott Pod, website michaelscottpod.com. And you can also support us by joining us on patreon.com/Michael Scott. Become a Scott's Tot, $5 a month. You get a special mailbag episode every month where we answer all the questions on Patreon. And a good portion of that money ends up going, it supports the show, but also goes to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund, fulfilling Michael's dream of sending kids to college. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who helps us with our social media and designs all our artwork. This episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon over Zoom.
We say it every week, but thank you for listening. I hope you're taking care of yourself. Take care of each other. We'll see you next week.
Hippity poppy, give me the zap.
Yes, sir.
It was always burning since the world been turning. Ryan started the fire. It was always burning since everybody was turning.
Guys, get a broom. Let's clean this up. Grab a broom. You heard me. Mush.
Seeking the truth never gets old.
Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.